give you praise. We honor you for not only coming but dying for each one of us, Lord, sacrificing yourself so that we could live, dying so we could live, then resurrecting to make sure we could live. A resurrected life, a resurrected life, a resurrected life in you, Lord. Let's live like it. Let's sing like it. Let's worship like it. Father, because you're worthy, for giving us the opportunity to live a resurrected life. We thank you, God. You're here. We thank you that you came. In Jesus' name, amen. How many believe he's in our midst this morning? He's not just out there somewhere. He's actually in this room. He's actually in some of you people, living inside of you powerfully. Who would say that's true? He lives right inside of me powerfully. Some of you aren't used to raising your hands. That's okay. You don't have to. You don't have to. We're going to have joy. Even if I miss a chord or two, we're going to have joy. Joy in your prayer. Glory would solve any situation, any circumstance. More of your glory in this room. More of your glory in our lives. More of your presence inside of us shining out. Giving us the wisdom, the discernment of heaven to face the problems of earth. Oh God. You're all over that. Why would you send Jesus if you didn't want us to have the rest? You just sent the best first. Thank you, Lord, for sending the best first. The best first. And not just a presence that we can hold in our hands, but a presence. Yes, Jesus, you miss the Father. Please, don't say, I have my own God. I have my own religion. I think my own thoughts. When Jesus is the gift from a loving Father that wants to know you, wants to call you home. When it's come all ye faithful, it's come home. It's come home. More people are sad during this season than any other season of the year. Why is it when we celebrate the greatest gift ever given? It's because they don't believe that Jesus is powerful enough to work in their circumstances, their situations. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus is powerful enough to work in any circumstance, any situation. We might not have the wisdom as leaders to understand how, but he has all the love to come in and rescue you. Come alongside you, comfort you, accept you to the point that things change. You change, the circumstances change, everything changes. But you have to see him as powerful. If he's just Jesus in the manger and you never let him grow up to be the powerful God that he is, it won't work. Any circumstance. Even if I have to crook my finger like our president. Any circumstance. Any circumstance. Any circumstance. Come, oh come, oh come. He's inviting you. Oh come, all ye faithful. Well, I'm not faithful. Guess what? Jesus makes up all the difference.
Amen. Good morning and welcome to Frontline Worship Center. Who's ready to continue on in the spirit of worship and Christmas and all that awesomeness? Well, we have a children's program ready for you, but I just want to release what Pastor Bill even more was speaking out. I thank you, Lord, that we welcome you as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I thank you, Lord, that this morning, Lord, you're preparing each one of our hearts to receive you, Lord, as you really are. I just release your power, Lord God, over everyone here. I thank you, Lord, that your power and authority is here, and it's enough to conquer any of our circumstances that we might be in, Lord God, be it our family, be it our job, whatever it is in our life, Lord. You are here today, Lord, to bring your power, Lord God, into that circumstance. So I thank you, Lord, that you just prepare our hearts, that your spirit is just released over this place, and that we receive you and we honor you today, Lord God, in everything that we will do, Lord, for the rest of this service. And I thank you, Lord, that you are so good, Lord, and you're touching hearts right now in this place. Just invite the children to come share a wonderful program that they have for us.
Yeah, and again, we just we want to welcome everyone. If you're new here today, welcome. We're so glad that you're here. We're so glad that we're able to share this Christmas service with you. We have some welcome packets. If you haven't received one of those, we would love for you to have a welcome packet. It has some information in it about Frontline Worship Center and the ministry, Frontline Ministries International, and some of the different things that we do here at Frontline. So if you're new and you haven't received a welcome packet, could you raise your hand really quickly? I'd love to give you one of these.
She wrapped him in a blanket and laid him in a manger because there's no room in the hostel.
Far more God-revealing signs than are written down in this book. These are written down so you will believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and the act of believing have real and eternal life in the way he personally revealed it.
Love hung on a cross for you and me. Jesus the Nazarene, a man thoroughly accredited to you by God. The miracles and wonders and signs that God did through him are common knowledge. This Jesus, following the deliberate and well-thought-out plan of God, was betrayed by men who took the law into their own hands and was handed over to you. And you pinned him on a cross and killed him. But God untied the death ropes and raised him up. Death was no match for him.
Love rose 3 days later and sits with the Father. Then they looked up, saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was huge, and they walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed in white. They were completely taken aback, astonished. The man said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus the Nazarene, the one who got nailed on the cross. He's been raised up, and he's here no longer. You can see for yourselves that this this place is empty. Then the major master, Jesus, after briefing them, was taken up to heaven, and he sat down beside God in the place of honor. And the disciples went everywhere preaching the master, working right with them, validating the message with indisputable evidence.
Love offers us eternal life. We know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true by being in His Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. 1 John 5:20.
Love gave us the Holy Spirit so we can be filled with Him. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Who is love?
Thank you.
doing, Jesus.
Thank you for this beautiful day. We thank you that we are here to be able to celebrate you. We thank you, Lord, that your love is so extravagant and that you are a voice. You have a voice and you are a voice. You are the voice and you are the one who's setting us free to love you more and more and more and to enable us to just draw close to your heart, to be able to hide under the shadow of your wings, Papa, to be able to be engrafted in a new way, to be able to touch the very breath of heaven, to be able to know you, to be able to be saturated with your affection. We thank you, Lord, for that today. We thank you for our children. We thank you, Lord, for all who are here. And we thank you, Lord, that we just continue to give you the glory, for you are amazing. You are our amazing God. We thank you that you speak to us today, that you are Emmanuel, God with us. You live inside of those who know you. We thank you that your voice is the voice that we listen to. Your voice is the one that we bend our knee to. And we thank you, Lord, that as you've spoken to us in the past, we're awaiting even more new thoughts, new revelation. We're awaiting from heaven, coming to earth. We're awaiting what you would say today. With that in mind, Lord, we just thank you. We thank you for the anointing that breaks the yoke. We thank you for every person here who is experiencing a taste of your heart and your love. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our healer, you are our deliverer, you are our Savior, you are our Lord. And you are so intentional about loving us. You are so intentional about us that you're calling us closer. Come closer. Come closer. You're calling us into your arms of love. You're calling us to lay everything down and run to the one who loves us most, and that's you. We lift our voices and say, glory to the Lamb. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can we just shout a shout of victory? Hallelujah. Lord, you are amazing. You are amazing. You are amazing, God. Amazing God. Amazing God. Thank you, Lord. Wow. God is so good. So faithful. We're having a good time here just celebrating his goodness, and we want to bless all of you with something special this morning before the children are released into their classes, into kingdom land. Could somebody get me a glass of water, please? These are love notes, actually. You can have a seat if you'd like, that we asked everybody in Frontline to write if they would be so moved and wanted to do that. So some of you maybe are visiting today. Others are typical family here, but we welcome you and we thank you so much for being here. But we asked people to just say, Lord, speak to me and give me words of life, give me hope, give me words of increase that I can hear to release to somebody else. So it's been really fun. So we have a whole basket, and Mandy's going to help pass these out. Excuse me. You can get some help here. And we just invite you to take one and take it home. And there's no specific rhyme or reason as far as who they go to or anything like that. We prayed over these. And we said, yes, Lord, thank you for the release. So we're believing that you will be blessed today with something that will strengthen you and encourage you. It may be someone you know. If you're here, you would know. But the names are on the bottom as well. So we just want to leave that gift with you and just offer that as our love note, believing that God speaks today and that we're a family here. We're a body of people who are lovers of Jesus, in love with Jesus, and believing that he gave us words of hope and life to be able to just release more of him. So that was our heart. So be blessed with that today. You can take that home. And thank you. A little frog in my throat or something, so I need a little bit of water. Thank you so much. Everybody get one. I believe we have enough, so God is good. Oh, how many of us know that when we sing, "O come all ye faithful, joy to the world, away in a manger," the first Noel, Silent Night, which we can sing later, "O Holy Night," all the wonderful, wonderful Christmas carols, Christmas sounds of joy, that those are messages that the Lord gives us to sing that resonate in heaven. The Lord is so desirous for us to be able to communicate with him, to be able to receive, to be able to give, to be able to hear, to be able to receive new sounds from heaven. But we never tire of these favorites, so to speak. And I'm sure many have been listening for weeks and weeks to these. And we just thank God that we are here today to be able to celebrate Jesus, celebrate the birth of our resurrected Savior. And we're just so thankful to be able to be here as a group, as a family, as laid down lovers of Jesus Christ. So we welcome you again. I want to share from my heart this morning some things that God has given. And I just want to give me a high sign. Are you finished passing out? Are we good? We have enough? Okay. I want to make sure before all the children leave. We have people traveling, a lot of families traveling today, different places, even in a different country and out of state and different places like that. So those who will be listening online later, family and friends, we just say we love you and we miss you. Safe travels. May this be the best Christmas celebration with your family that you've ever had. God bless you, and may you be increased from hearing this. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so children, you may go where you are supposed to go. So all the children can go back to the back, and then the teachers will tell them what they're going to be doing and such. Let's praise the Lord. Amen. How many of us are familiar with Isaiah 9, 6, and 7? I think we can put that up on the screen. It's not a Christmas verse. It's a verse of hope and revelation that we look to many times during the Christmas season. This is in New King James. We want to draw our attention to this. This is what the Lord was putting on my heart as a word of life, a word of encouragement, a word of hope, to be able to take in our hearts and extend that to each other, with each other as well. And as you're maybe flipping through your Bible or your cell phone or something, and you can track with us there, take some notes, that would be good. We're just trusting and believing that these words that are coming alive for us today will take us into another place, whether we know Jesus or we don't. He's very intentional, as I said before. Our God is very, very strategic in saying, that one, that one, that one. I love that one. This is the one that I put in front of you. This is the one that I'm drawing into my family. And the simplicity of it all is that God so loved the world. That's all of us. That's everywhere. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever would believe in him would never, never perish. I added an extra never. But have life, have eternal life. That's very significant. Many times when we come into the kingdom of God, we memorize a scripture, and many times that's the first one. Not always. But it's a very significant verse because it's a verse of speaking about the vastness of God's heart and God's love. He says, I've so loved the world that I have sent Jesus. Why? Because I'm Father and I love family. And Jesus lives with me here. With Spirit of God, three persons, one God. I'll say it again, three persons, one God. It's like, wow, how does that work, Lord? You say it's true, three persons, and there's one God. He says, I will enable you to understand what you need to understand about that. You'll never be able to get that up here alone. It will be here, but God is so in love with us that he releases us into knowing that that is true, that we can bear witness in our hearts that that is true. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three in one. It's very significant. So when we read the first verse up here, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given," we can see that these words are about Jesus. These words were foretold about 680 to 700 years before Christ was born. Well, I should say, actually, let me word it differently, in the year 680 or 700, so it wasn't quite that number of years, but that's what God said that he was going to do, was let us know that these things were going to happen. And he was very specific again. He said, this is where it's going to happen, what's going to happen, how it's going to happen, why it's going to happen, detail upon detail upon detail. So the Lord was very, very, very sure, Father God, that this was going to occur. And he knew we'd be sitting right here in 2013 listening to this message. He knew that we would be talking about this. And he knew that we would be drawn to Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. He knew that. And he knew that this would be very significant for many people in here. Many or all? All. But many would mean that the majority of people he would be trying to draw into a new place. In the majority, when we are with God, we're a majority. Both of us together, the Lord and us. So that's for all of us, whether we're seasoned, whether we've known the Lord Jesus Christ personally before, or for maybe the first time we're hearing about this, or whatever it would be, the Lord says, I am speaking to all of you because I speak today. I have messages of hope and love for you today, as evidenced even by the envelopes today. They're all different. Every message is different, but it all comes down to this. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they are together in a family of one with three persons. It's a big deal. It's such a big deal that our Father in heaven said, I'm sending Jesus so that he can reveal me through his life to all of us. That's a big deal too. So he had to do some things, get things taken care of and cleared out. That was his role. And still is. He's revealing our Father to us. So is the Holy Spirit. And he said, the Father said, I'm going to release a son, my son, to you. And he will walk this earth for 2,000 years. And he will lay his life down because that's how I designed it. And I love you so much. I will enable you to understand that. I will enable you to want to know more. I will enable you to desire him as the desire of the nations. I will enable you. It's my love. It's what I do. I will do that. You can't even do it. You can't do that at all. None of us can. It's such a big deal. He says, I'm going to put myself as king of the universe, as the father of the universe, as the spirit moving and creating the universe with Father and Son. I'm going to put myself out there and draw you to be able to say yes to me. Very simple. It's us who complicate things, but very simple. God is looking for family to extend. He said, I'm looking for sons and daughters of mine. Where are they? With all the people in all the countries all over the world, he says, I'm looking for those who want to know me as Father, who want to come into my house, who want to be in my family, who want to be part of who I am. I will reveal myself to them. Where are they? That's simple, yet very profound. If we lose sight of that or never have sight of that, meaning, I heard that before, or really? Wow. Either way, the Lord is saying today is going to be something brand new for every person sitting in here today. You were drawn here. Maybe some are here because of the children. Some are here because it's Christmas. Some are here. You can think of the reasons. But irregardless, our incomprehensible God is so big. He factored all that in. You know, he knows. He knows how we roll. He understands. So he puts these things together. He says, you know, they're learning what family really looks like. Everybody wants to be part of some kind of family. Maybe you feel alone today. When we have connection with our Father in heaven, he will take that away. You might be in a very large family, physically speaking, and you've got lots of things to do today, tonight, tomorrow, etc., and still feel very lonely. It's like, well, how does that work? He says, I want you to be so connected to me, so tight with me, that irregardless of what happens, earthly surroundings, earthly family, earthly church family, if you're part of this or another body, any group, irregardless of that, you, if you know me, you will be in my family. And I will make all things new. So when we say Jesus is the reason for the season, or he is our hope, he is this, he is this, he is this, he is this, do you know he also enables us to step in and believe those things in a deeper way? I challenge those who have known the Lord for more than a decade or 2 decades or even 4 decades. I challenge those who have walked with the Lord for a long time to purpose in their heart that I'm going to hear something new in my spirit. Something new is happening to me right now. Why? Because we encounter God. That's what this is all about. It's why we worship. It's why we do what we do. Because we have an opportunity to encounter him, to actually connect with him. It's not hard. It is very simple. The message, the profound message of life is very simple. And the Lord says, what will you do with me? Not the message. What will you do with me? Because he is the message. You see? He says, I will reveal myself through my word. I will show up in different ways. I will make myself known. And I am the exact representation of my Father. And he knows all. And I know all. And the Spirit of God knows all. So there's nothing that escapes my eyes. There's nothing that fools me. Nothing that lets me down. I am pure peace. I am pure joy. I am pure hope. I am pure prosperity, sustenance. I am your healer. I am healing, not just your healer. I am healing. I am. I am wonderful. I am spectacularly wonderful. I am supernaturally wonderful, so that you will wonder about me, wonder the rest of your life. Like, oh, we will stay, we will live, we will move, we will breathe, we will grow, we will accelerate, we'll go farther, we'll go faster in awe. This is for everybody here. It's like, wow, he's that amazing? Yes, he's wonderful. When the book was written, scriptures were written, and the word wonderful, as you can see it up there, there it is, okay? Wonderful, comma, capital W. He is wonder. He is full of wonder, full of awe. He is our supernatural God. And he says, if you want to connect with me, I've already chosen you to do that. So if you would like to connect, increase that connection, things will go better and better and better because I created you that way. Because I like you in my family. I'm all about family. I like families. But I like families the way I like families. Okay? In other words, my definition of family needs to be priority, needs to be top, no matter where you are. Why? Because a healthy relational family pleases the Lord and releases power and anointing and healing and hope and peace and joy. Oh my goodness, sounds like him. That's why he takes family so seriously. So here at Frontline, we're a spiritual family. If you go to another place, if another place of worship, typically you're here for today for whatever reason, you are part of a family. God designed it that way. He's really intentional about that. It's like, wow, okay, that's really... Well, maybe you wouldn't want to be in my family if you knew what my family was like for the last 40 years. Oh, my goodness. Or, oh, my gosh, there's so much tension and strife and heartache and this and that. Remember, I said healthy. Healthy means God's way. Wonderfully supernatural. Yeah, but nobody has that kind of perfect family. Well, God is. So he says, when you come into my family, I make you like me. That's my job, because family pleases God. He's all about family. So that's what he wants to do, is change us to become like him. So when we get tired of things, or we feel stressed out, or we're feeling completely overwhelmed, or we're down because this has happened or that has happened, it doesn't mean that it hasn't happened. It means that the Lord wants to do something about that, because he's very intentional about you and I being in his family and making all things new. And when or if we're not connecting with him on whatever level, that's resistance to family. That's how he looks at it. But with a smile, with hugs, but yet saying, you need to have the right understanding of how I view family, okay? So it's just kind of a different way of looking, maybe for some, of Isaiah 9, 6, and 7. And it's really interesting, because when Isaiah wrote this book, this book is called a prophetic book. That means that the voice of God is speaking. Well, every book in the Bible, that is very true. This is one that is also foretelling things that are going to be happening in the future, and for, you know, many, many hundreds of years before that. But also, in addition to that, dealing with the times, what was going on in the countries that were existing at that time, and all of the oppression, all of the destruction, all of the wars, and all of the very difficult times in the world at that time that was operative. And so Isaiah was speaking life. He was historically recording those things, but also speaking life from those things to help people, to help pull people out of what was considered bondage and what was considered tyranny, what was considered heartache, wars, and various things. And he also spoke about the end. When all is said and done, when we're finished with all this in this world, and we have an opportunity to end up at a beautiful banqueting table and have a big wedding feast with Jesus Christ. It's like, what? So there's a beginning and there's an end, and it all started as a family in the garden, and it will end at a family banqueting table. That's why this is so important to think about these things in light of the five characteristics or traits or aspects, if you will, of Jesus' nature in these two verses. I have these verses on a wall hanging that our son Mike gave to us many years ago. And it just hit me today to be speaking. The Lord told me, speak on these two verses very specifically, because it's going to be life-changing for some. So when we look at this, we look at the various names. It says, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. Okay? If we have the view of a place where there is rule, regulation, black and white setup, so things will go as they should, and that's it, our view of kingdom government will not be accurate, because the Lord says, I am the master of the kingdom, capital T. And every other kingdom is to be under me. Every kingdom with a small k. So the government or the right working of all the relational aspects in society, in our families, families make up societies, right? Groupings of people, societal things, all of those things are looked at by God in a way where his government, which is his order, his family order, will be very, very specific wherever we are. Very specific. Meaning, we're in the United States of America, and we know we have President Obama at the head. He is our president, and we know that the way things will be ordered, at least from what we can see right now, appears to be a certain way. But yet, Jesus says, I came to breathe Ruah, life and power, into your government, United States of America. You see? Because it's his government. And God wants us to see that because he sees the United States also as his family, intended to be his family. He created all of us. But we need to respond to him in order to be considered in his family officially. We have to respond. But see, he gives us the ability. If we don't, we fight. Our maker comes down to that. So, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Supernatural. So just get up tomorrow morning and say, good morning, Wonderful. Good morning. Some versions of the Bible put Wonderful and Counselor together. You can call him a Wonderful Counselor. But this is his name with a comma between the two. It says he is one to be in awe of always. Okay, so he's wonderful. He is the Almighty Counselor. He is wisdom. He doesn't just give wisdom, he is. So when we receive wisdom, then we have connected with him if we want to. He's so real. He's so personal. He is saying, I am wisdom. You don't just get something. You connect with me and you become like me. That's a big deal. It's like, wow, this is Jesus before he's even born. But again, he came to reveal the Father. Mighty God. Mighty. The word mighty means what? Top power, completely able, lacking in no good thing, able to back himself up. If he's mighty, there is no lack, period. There is no lack. So he is wisdom. In other words, he is able, willing, and will absolutely tell people, tell governments, tell societies. He will be speaking. He always has, he is, and he will always do that, speaking life into how he likes to see this world go. If we resist him, we are resisting wisdom himself. And God says, that's true. But I would like you to consider that you get to become like me because you're my son or you're my daughter. You're in my family. We get to be in the kingdom heart of God. It's a big deal. So when we cry out, oh Lord, I want to know you, and we don't feel anything ever, we need to say, you know what? I'm going to remember this message and I'm going to ask you, oh God, I don't get it. I don't feel it, but here I am. I choose to present myself because you set me up that way to love you, to know you, to come into your family and to flow so that your family is healthy. You don't want a bunch of dysfunctional kids. You want healthy relationships. And that way we can become like you, and that way we can influence others and they will become like you. Okay? Everlasting Father. Sometimes we skip over that because, well, this is Jesus. Now, come on here. We're not
I don't get this everlasting Father thing. This is about Jesus. I can deal with the fact that he's Prince of Peace. But he's saying, I am Father. And so you have the idea of father and mother in families together. Okay, there is beauty and there is order. And when that gets mixed up or when that gets turned upside down in any way, then there's a resistance to who he is. And things don't go as well for us. It's like, wow, okay. Well, if you're everlasting Father, that means that you care about me and you are compassionate and loving and kind, even though maybe my father wasn't or didn't or couldn't, or my mother wasn't or couldn't or didn't. That's not what we're not talking about, your mother and father. We're talking about the Father of the universe. We're talking about the one who gave us life that desires for us to become a son in the house, a daughter in the house, in his family. In a few minutes, we're going to have an opportunity for the Holy Spirit. We're asking the Holy Spirit to come and take us to a deeper place in our understanding of this, called revelation of this. We may have heard some of these things before. Check, check, check. But when the Spirit of God is moving and he's releasing what he has for us right now, then that check becomes something more. That actually becomes a place of encounter and change. It has to, because that's his nature. He sets it up that way. He knows that we can't just walk around eating our brains, okay? That we're thinking these things, oh, that's really nice, that's really nice, that's really nice. He's saying, if it doesn't go beyond that's really nice, then we've not connected, then there's no change. That's where frustration comes in. That's where heartache may come in. Because when he is who he says he is to us, no matter what, then we're okay. We are anchored, maybe with tears, but we are anchored. We are not flip-flopping. We're not going, we're not running out the door. We're not content to say, well, this is just the way I am, and I'm not changing. We're not content anymore. When we take a step and say, this is who you are, when you foretold yourself, there are five huge names that you gave yourself, because you are encompassing everything about you all at once. It's like, wow, I got to pay attention. And I'm only touching lightly today because it's, you know, Christmas time. Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. When we speak of him being a prince and being the Prince of Peace, we speak of the fact that he is actually peace. So when you are feeling peaceful and I'm feeling peaceful, it's like, ah, we have connected with Jesus. When it's truly from him, that doesn't mean that what we believe about that connection is accurate. It means that we've connected with him saying, I love you. What? That means that we could actually believe something that does not match up with some aspect of his name up here. And we could be peaceful because we love Jesus. And we deliver cookies downtown and talk to people about Jesus. We work with children. We do, you know, we do different things. But we could be, something could be a little bit off kilter dealing with one of these aspects of his nature. But if we're feeling peace, we still need to say, Lord, how about all encompassing for where I am and what I'm facing and what I'm doing? And, you know, he will so honor a prayer like that. He might say, you know, I know you're trying to love me. Don't try. Just step in. Well, what, isn't that trying? Offer yourself. It's different than trying. Present yourself to me. That's your worship. That's how I believe he says from Romans 12, 1 and 2. That is worship. Okay? When the Lord tells us, as wonderful, as Counselor, as Mighty God, as Everlasting Father, as Prince of Peace, with those names right there, when he's speaking those names to us, he is telling us that he is the fullness, that Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. He's telling us that. He says, I am Father, I am Son, I am Holy Spirit. And he says, when you understand Holy Spirit, when you have a relationship with Holy Spirit, he's saying, you will become so full of your connection with me. It will be strengthened, it will be increased. So Isaiah, just a few chapters later, writes about the Holy Spirit. And he says, there are names or dimensions, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. There are seven of them in the first and second verse of chapter 11. So for those of you who have read the Bible or you're reading it, think about that. But one of the names or one of the aspects or one of the traits is fear of the Lord. It's like, what? So now I have to fear him? Fear of the Lord is actually part of the Spirit of God. And for those who embrace, hold, and say yes to the spirit of the fear of the Lord, you are taken, and I'm taken into a whole nother realm of who Jesus is, a whole nother place of who Jesus is. This is a season, this is a day, I want to declare it now, that our understanding of Jesus, wherever we come from, is going to open up, it's going to change, it's going to increase, it's going to have a new view from us, because it can. We can go deeper and say, all right, for the last 20, 30, 40, 60, doesn't matter how old, years, this is what I've thought, and I might learn a little bit more. But today is going to be a new day that I step in and say, Jesus, I really need to understand you. I need that revelation of you. I so want to connect with you. I was designed to receive you into my life. I was designed to know that you were sent because of love to die for me on the cross and to raise 3 days later. I need to know that that's so significant that it rocks my world every day, that I won't turn away from it, that I won't go hide in a closet, that I won't say maybe next year, that I will absolutely say, today, Lord, I'm going to commit to the newness that's being offered. That's the call. That's what God's doing right now. And to finish this up, of the increase of his government, notice his government and peace, there will be no end. So that means that everything I've mentioned so far to us together will increase. It will increase and there will be no end to that. So there will be no stopping. There is not one of us who says, okay, I can just do a little bit more, do a little bit better. That's not the message. If I just tell more people about Jesus, I will be closer to him. Not necessarily. The Lord says that this is a day where the increase of his family business, think of a family grocery store, family hardware store, his family business, the increase of how it's going to look and how it's going to function and how it's going to work together with other parts and other families in the business, okay, so that it becomes like God, that's not going to end. Oh my gosh, that's very deep. And it can rock your world and my world today if we let that. We can look at our Christmas trees and go, whoa, you're amazing. You are the light of the world. You lit this thing up. Oh my goodness. There's an increase here and it knows no end to the way you do family, the way you do family business and thinking. And that will affect me right where I am with my Christmas dinner tonight or tomorrow or the next day. It will change me if I let it, because God designed us that way, to be changed. Always. It knows no end. So we're on that road where we don't do it ourselves. He does it through us. All he's saying is, just desire that. Want me. Just say, yes. You're pulling at my heart, God. Yes. When you get that yes, respond to it. Because that yes involves the Lord. You can't do it on your own. He's pulling. He's drawing. That yes is from him. Spectacular. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, we're talking about David of the Old Testament, and of his kingdom, to order it in establishment with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Let me just read to you. I think I have it here in a different version to help some. It says, this is in the Amplified Bible. It says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from the latter time forth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Okay, another version also. Let me read it to you again. And this would be out of, I believe this is the NASB, which is another version. Same God, same book, just expanded for some. It's called New American Standard. Excuse me. But upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, that means that he'll rule from the historic throne of David and his promised kingdom. That means that the way David worshiped the Lord says, wow, in the Old Testament, now I'm bringing that back so that you will be so engrafted into my heart, you're going to go way past whatever David did. Because for the increase of government on my shoulders, there will be no end. So what David did, just imagine that's going to be biggie-sized. That's going to be accelerated. It's already here because we live in the times after Jesus. He's saying, you think that was something hot back then. He says, this is how I operate. This is how my family is supposed to look. Because I'm a family man, and not only do I want you in my family, but I'd like you to be a productive member of the family who's reflecting me in all areas, and then more people will see me through you and want to become like me and come into my family. That's the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then to finish it up, to order it and to establish it with justice and judgment. Justice and judgment. when the Lord says that he's going to order us, he's not some rigid dude that says, here, listen, if you try hard enough, you're going to get a really cool formula. And then you'll get this Christian life down. Well, that's a voice, but if you're listening to that, you're listening to the wrong voice. Because that's not how it works. This is all relational, and the structure that God has set up for us is firm, is in place. He calls it obedience, but only because of love. He says, you need to understand that I love you and cherish you this much. Look at my names. This is who I am, and I'm so specific about you. You won't even stumble if you let my love touch those places where you have. What? I mean, that's possible. Scripture tells us. This is a big deal because we have a big God. And then the final verse, if our worship team can come up, the final verse says, from that time forward, even forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is the Lord of hosts. This is God with his angels, with his army from heaven, the hosts of heaven will perform this, will do this. There is no doubt. There is no hesitation. It's a promise of God. He's saying, listen, I am going to give you the know-how and the how-to. The know-how and the how-to. I back you up. I pull you towards myself. When you're with me, tethered with me, it's a win-win situation. Some of you in here may not have said yes to Jesus yet, for sure. Or you did a long time ago. I don't care about a long time ago. Because I don't know you. Maybe. Possibly some in here. But God does. He cares about what you said or what you thought or what you felt a long time ago. But he's saying today is a new day. And he's saying, I want you to come in 100% saying, here I am, into my family in a way that's significant, in a way that there's a change. Some of you, it might be the first time. Some of you, it might be the 23rd time. It doesn't matter, because when we come in and say, here I am, I present myself, then we lay ourselves down and we say, I want you. I want you. I don't just want to get out of drugs. I don't this and that and the other. That's cool. Let's do it. We don't need that. That's not how his kingdom rolls anyway. But he says, if you want me, this is who I am. And if you want me, I will make myself known to you. You will encounter me. You will have more of me. This is your day. This is who you are. And I'm not letting you go, he says. My love is so strong that I'm drawing you right into my heart. And I'm drawing you into a place of encounter where even if things have been the pit for you, I'm going to take you in where there is no pit. I'm going to take you into the place of heaven, coming down to earth, where you can connect with me and you will be radically changed on the spot, because he said he'd do it. He said, this is my promise. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. That means that God is speaking and he's serious. So he's calling us for every person to respond. There is no one exempt here. And so if that's you, let's just all be on our feet right now. And if you've not heard a message like this before, then come to the front. And if you want to respond to what God is saying to you, that could be every person in here, whether you've not really made a commitment to God or you've known the Lord before. Either way, if your heart's being stirred, I invite you to come down to the front so we can pray and say, here I am. I present myself. I give myself to you. I want you. I'm going forward. I'm finished with backward. This is who you are. So I invite you to come. I invite you to come and present yourself and say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. I want to know you more. This is a new day for me. Maybe you'll give your life to Jesus the first time, but come and say, Jesus, I want you. It's not just a season. I want you. I want you, and I'm going to lay myself down. Maybe you've been struggling with drugs or alcohol. Maybe so. That's not even the issue. The issue is whatever it is in your heart that's connecting with this message, come and present yourself. There's plenty of room in the aisles, plenty of room down in the front. This is for all of us. So please, let's worship the Lord, and we'll pray for those who want to say, Lord, I'm making a commitment today. I'm making a commitment today, a new commitment to you, a new commitment to say, here I am, I want more. Here I am, I want more. That's the commitment. You have nothing to fear, because the Lord of hosts is calling you right now. So I invite you to move, because some of us are stuck. Some of us have been stuck in the muck, for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years in some areas, because we just didn't know. We didn't know how big he is. But today he's revealing his size, his largeness, his greatness, his majesty, his majesty, his majesty.
I am chosen. I am free.
Let's join me down here.
I am living for eternity.
Let's just bless the name of the Lord.
Free now forever.
The Lord will bring you into his family.
You pick me up and turn me around.
Set my feet on solid ground. Stir us up, oh God.
Free now forever.
Stir us up. Come on. Come on.
You want to
hold me back. This is new to you.
Nothing's gonna hold me back.
Come on.
Nothing's gonna hold me back.
Wow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
My chains fell off. My heart was free.
Come on. Some of you need to know Jesus.
I'm alive to live for you.
Come on.
I'm alive to live for you.
Come on.
Amazing love. How can it be?
Today is different.
You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me.
I'm not going to let fear keep me from getting out of my seat and saying, this is is new. You touched me at the deepest place. Only He can do it. Only He can touch us. Come on and join
you
me.
You wash
down
my
here.
Sin and shame away.
Let's say you have a need. If you have any sickness in your body, or you have any kind of need, and you would like prayer before you go, just invite you to come up. If not, some are receiving up here. Merry Christmas and God bless you. Thank you so much for being with us this morning. And we're just going to worship a little while here, and you're just free to go on and go wherever you need to go or whatever. God bless you. And if you are looking for a church home, you don't have one, then we invite you to come again.